Have your Bibles. Turn to the book of Philippians, please, this morning, chapter number 2. It will be just a little bit before we're actually to the Scripture and reading it. Book of Philippians. My heart has been touched this morning by these men who stood in front of us. And again, I'd like to say to them, thank you. And to our young men who are coming up, who are considering following their footsteps, may God bless you in that effort. The need that we have in our hour is maturity, not mediocrity. As we have witnessed in the last several years, our nation is steeped in mediocrity. 57.5% of eligible voters cast a ballot last Tuesday. Many of those who cast ballots did not do so for the good of the nation, but for what they consider would be helpful to their own pocket. We are now living in an era when it's no longer about integrity of nation, but about who can get the most handouts from government. We need a return to maturity. I believe that God's goal for His people is a spiritual maturity. When I say a spiritual maturity, I refer to the fact that I believe that God wants you and I to conform to the image of His Son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." We are prone in our day to accept anything and everything else. We've come to the conclusion if we have money in the bank, a nice car and a house, we are a success. We believe that if our children have all the right study and athletic courses, they have the nicest of facilities, that they are well educated and ready for the world. But how like the Laodicean church you and I have become. In Revelation 3:17, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." We have somehow believed that maturity is the ability to understand the baser things of life. We've come to understand or to realize or to think that somehow this word adult means that we're now ready for the more sinful things. And that now we are mature to indulge upon selfish, so-called satisfying actions. Parents have often come to the spot where they believe that if their children are exposed to sinful activities, they will learn more how to deal with them rather than to understand if they're going to be living lives that are righteous. They need to be kept away from the open doors of promiscuity. Biblical maturity is being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. Chapter number 2 of the book of Philippians, verse number 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we have in our possession this wonderful, beautiful book that we call the Bible. We thank you, O God, today that you have so blessed us with these pages, with this holy writ. Oh God, I pray that these things that You have given us might enter into our hearts. Lord, I pray today that You would allow our prejudices, our thoughts, our concerns to be directed totally at You. Oh God, today may You have our attention. Bless and work in our hearts and our lives, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What made the Lord Jesus Christ mature? What is it that you and I, if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, need to emulate in our lives? Allow me to take you first of all to verse number 6 of our text, where it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." If there's something that you and I need, if we're going to be mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to get out of this land of mediocrity and this place where we just operate with "I don't really care" attitudes, if we're really going to stand for something, then we need to know who we are. Jesus Christ knew who He was, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Too many Christians do not know who they are. We do not know our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize that when we got saved, God saved us from everything that we were. We're saved from our past. And yet we find that oftentimes the devil is seeking to remind us over and over and over of those things that we have done wrong. He wants to destroy us with wrong thinking. He wants us to remember those things of the past, rather than, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. To remember that, as you and I ought to do, to delight in a God who has forgiven you and forgiven me when we accepted Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Today, if you're saved, the grace of God is operative. You have become a child of God. You've changed. You're no longer a part of that kingdom that is here, that is base and gross, and that which has taken you to an everlasting hell. But you're now part of the kingdom of a heavenly Father. And in fact, He is your Father. In fact, you are a son of God, not the Son of God, not the only begotten Son of God, but a son of God. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become" what? "The sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And so you and I today have the wonderful privilege to know that our sins have been forgiven. You say, "But preacher, I have sinned in my life. I've done things that are wrong." Yes, but when you accept Christ as your Savior, He has forgiven you of all of your sins. It's been buried beneath the deepest sea, the Bible says. It's been cast as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are behind the back of God. One smart aleck atheist one time said to a little girl, "Well, what happens if God turns around?" The little girl was very wise. She says, "I want you to know, when my God turns around, His back goes with Him. He never sees my sin ever again. I'm a child of the King. I'm a part of that heavenly group. One of these days the trumpet is going to sound and this old body is going to be changed in an instant. All that which hangs upon it, all the flesh and all those things that are there, this is going to evaporate in a moment of time. And I'm going to be with the Lord forever. And I know who I am. I'm a child of God." And if you and I today are going to stand mature, we need to first of all realize who we are. If we're going to have anything in Christ, we need to know we are in Him. It is no longer Gene Springer that He sees, for I'm in Christ. And it is He who He sees. I'm in Him and He is in me. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that you and I have today. He knew who He was. Oh, but we stand so mediocre often in our lives as Christians because we stand defeated and we stand in that spot where we think, I can't do it, and this is not available to me. And we think that God is out of our touch and out of our reach. And what's the problem? It's because we don't really recognize who we are in Christ. We have a wonderful calling, brethren. But not only did he know who he was, but we find in verse number 7, he knew what he was to be. Read that with me if you would please. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He knew what he was to be. May I say to you today, you'll never be a good servant until you have an inner security of who you are. For if you have not the inner security of you who you are, you will hate the master. Because if Jesus isn't your master, then the flesh is. And there will be a horrible, horrible warfare. The insecure, those who do not know who they are, serve themselves for self-interest. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew who he was, and he knew what he was to be. And that was to be a servant unto men. I've had the privilege on a number of occasions to go to the Iowa State Fair and there to see what I would call the big horses. My favorite are the Percherons. It's been a number of years ago now, probably a decade at least, as I walked into that building and here were all these Belgians and Percherons and a few Clydesdales that were there. As I was walking up and down those stalls, all of a sudden I came to one. And I looked up. And I was looking not at the top of the head. I was looking right in his muzzle. And there stood the largest horse I'd ever seen in my life. I could not believe as I looked at that beautiful black Percheron, his head was about so long. I mean from the top of his head, not his ears. I just stood there in amazement. As I watched that horse in that stall and moved around just a little bit, I noticed I could not even see over the top of the sway of his back. He was so tall at that spot, and I stand 6'6", I could not see but looking upwards. One huge horse. But if any of you who are horse lovers here might know, we would call them gentle giants. Though they are strong, though they are huge, and though they are massive, and yet they have within them a kind of confidence because they knew who they are. And they're really a very gentle horse. They don't do it any longer, but for many years, year after year, you would go up there and you'd find them on the Friday as they would bring those out and get them ready to go into the big show. There'd be an area about as wide as our middle chairs here, and they'd just bring them out, and people would walk by them all the time. And nobody was scared of them because they were very well behaved. I've seen little guys who have what I call little man syndrome. I had an uncle like that. He was like a banty rooster. Always wanting to do something to be noticed. Always trying to get in your face because he wanted you to know he was present. Never really sure of himself. What was his problem? He never really knew who he was. And never really knew what he was to be. God wants you to know who you are. And what he wants you to do. And basically that is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born to serve. But notice with me verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not only did he know who he was, not only did he know what he was to be, but he knew what he had to do. That was to go to the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary simply because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love, as we find in the Word of God, is self-sacrificial. Jesus, it is said of Him, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. Maturity is that which gives a person the humility to sacrifice of themselves, to do what is needed to be accomplished. One of the reasons that we get choked up, and one of the reasons that we want to say thank you to our veterans, is because here are some men and some women who stand in a place of self-sacrifice, willing to go and to do whatever it is that needs to be done to accomplish what is there. And you know, that's exactly what God wants us to be willing to do. To give of ourselves, to sacrifice of ourselves, to place ourselves upon the altar of God, to put ourselves, if you please, in the offering basket, to say, "Here, my God, use me." Maturity gives us that kind of humility, to sacrifice of ourselves. By the way, anybody can be filled with pride. Anybody can strut around and say, "Look at me." But it takes a mature person to just simply go and do it, and to serve, and to accomplish. Maturity puts God's will above our own. It dawned upon me one day, and these men can probably testify to this, that boot camp is not to get you in shape, though it will do that. Boot camp is not to teach a man how to walk with other men, though boot camp will do that. It's not just to teach you a few of the basic things in defense, though it will do that. Boot camp is designed to bring about a maturity through a humbling. To recognize there must be the will of another over our own. To unquestionably march to the tone of another. To allow another to be the commander of our life. Not for 8 hours a day, but for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what God deserves from you and me. By the way, we're called to be soldiers in the army of God. There's a warfare and a battle that's out there that is very real. The ammunition that's being shot at you and me is horrendous. We're in a spiritual warfare that there is a need for maturity amongst God's people. Not mediocrity. Not just showing up when we feel like it. Not just doing something when it's convenient for us. But because our commander demands it. Jesus knew who He was. Jesus knew who He was to be. Jesus knew what He was to do. And may I remind you, though the gates of hell closed upon Him, they did not prevail. For my Savior up from the grave He arose, a mighty triumph o'er His foes. And you and I have the privilege to stand in that kind of position today. For like the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a son of God. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, I have at my disposal, because He told me so, all His power. He said, "All power is given unto me." And then He said, "I will be with you." We find out who we are. Then we can find out what He wants us to be. Then we can go do it. there are Christians in this room who don't know who you really are. You've not taken it seriously. You've not allowed the commander's book to be opened in your face day after day and to read the manual and understand what it is he wants you to accomplish. Been too busy with selfish acts. Let it change and find out who you are. And who he wants you to be. What he wants you to do. And there are folks in this room, no doubt. You're not of the Father's family. You cannot honestly pray and say, "Our Father which art in heaven." Because you've never really received the Son that you might be a son. As many as received Him gave He power to become the sons of God. You may have said it, but it's not a living reality. There are people who make professions of faith, but they do not possess real saving faith. Jesus Christ is not a reality to you. You need Him. For without Him, there is no hope of eternity. It's only through Christ we have salvation. Amen. It's only in Him that we become His Son, as He, the Lord Jesus, is the Son of God. Where are you at today? Father, today, work in our hearts. No doubt, oh God, there's a need here. Oh God, I pray that You'd work and bless. Lord, I pray that You would just reach down into hearts. Lord, help us to understand mediocrity has plagued our nation. And sometimes we as Christians stand critical, but we are just as mediocre. We've not matured. We don't even know who we are. We don't even know what we stand for or ought to stand for. We're lazy and lax. We're more concerned with self-interest, what we can get out of something rather than what we can put in. Lord, I pray that You work in hearts today. No doubt there's a lost soul here that needs Christ as their Savior. Spirit of God, bring conviction upon that heart, upon the hearts of Your people. Oh God, do a work today. Do something in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.